Will you pray with me? Lord, may the words of my mouth and may the meditation of all our hearts and minds be acceptable and pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. All right, so this morning is the wrap-up of our Fixer Upper sermon series. I know we took a break last week, but 3 weeks wasn't going to do it, and so to get that fourth week meant coming today. But what have we been looking at in Fixer Upper of how we be a new and better me in 2017? And we looked at how it is that we make that commitment to ourself and God to be able to be better. How it is that we look at the demolition side of being new and better. What is it that we need to eliminate out of our life? What are the bad habits, the bad traits, the bad choices that we make that need to be able to come out so that the better choices and habits and traits can be a part of our life? And then 2 weeks ago, we looked at who is on our build team. Who are the people that we're in friendships and relationships with that are around us to support us in our life and to help us to be the best that we can be? Who is it that's there to support us when times get tough and celebrate with us when times are good? And the raw materials. What are the great potential that we have in us? Those gifts and abilities that God created in us in our DNA that shows us the maximum of the potential that we can have. So today, to wrap it up, I want to look at the big reveal, okay? If you watch the show Fixer Upper, these people, they buy dumps. And when they buy these dumps, they hire Chip and Joanna Gaines to be able to come in and turn the dump into their dream house. And so they spend weeks redoing the house, gutting it and rebuilding it and making it the dream house and just exactly what these individuals or families need. And so it comes time for the big reveal. And the first time I saw this, I'm like, oh, they're so tricky. They bring the people blindfolded in a car and they pull them up to the house and they bring them out and they set them right next to each other, right in front of the house. And what are the people expecting? But as soon as I open my eyes, I'm going to be wowed at the transformation that I see in front of me, right? But Chip and Joanna, they've gotten these like huge posters, okay? Like 10 feet tall, it feels like, and 10 feet wide that they've brought to cover up in front of the house. And what is the picture but the original look of the house? So what happens when they say, all right, open your eyes? The people like, and you see it like every time, they brace themselves like ready to be in awe and they're like, wait a second, that's the way the house was when we bought it. We paid you to change that. And there's this moment of kind of disappointment that they have. But Chip and Joanna always explain, they want them to remember where the journey began. They want them to remember just how bad it was. And when they get a second to remember how badly the paint was peeling and the holes in the roof and the overgrown yard, then they stand on each side of these posters and at 1, 2, 3, pull it away and they see that transformation before their eyes from the dump to the dream house. And that's when they collapse on the ground and they cry and they embrace each other and they just can't believe what's before their eyes. Well, so often in our lives, we look in the mirror, we examine ourselves, and we kind of feel that disappointment because we're not seeing the transformation happen. I think when I watch like Biggest Loser and the end of the week, people have worked so hard and they've done everything they possibly can, and they get on the scale and their hearts just sink in disappointment that the change isn't there that they expected, that it's not being seen overnight, that it seems I'm trying so hard, but I'm not seeing the results that I want. We want that big reveal. We want that wow moment, but we just don't seem to see it. And why is that? Because so often change is a process that happens slowly and it's hard to see unless we're willing to really look back at where we started to see that beginning. Well, Jesus talks about this big reveal. Jesus talks about that end result of where we want to be and what we want to see here on the Sermon on the Mount. Here Jesus is up on the mountainside and people are gathered to hear him speak, gathered to hear these words that he has to say. And here at this point, he begins to talk about wise and foolish builders, okay? Wise and foolish builders, and anybody that's done any kind of home improvement can know there can be wise and there can be foolish builders. Try not to be the foolish builder. But he goes to these wise and foolish builders, and he says, everyone who hears these words of mine, and whether they put them into practice or don't, determines if they are wise or foolish builders. What Jesus is trying to get at this is that a solid house must begin with a solid foundation. He's trying to look at what is that foundation. And he's saying the wise builders, they're the ones that build their house on rock. They're building it on something solid, right? And he says, and the winds are going to blow, and the rains are going to come, and the tornadoes, and the hurricanes, and the tsunamis, and everything's going to be thrown at this house. And Jesus says, the house that's built on rock is going to stand firm, right? Because it has a solid foundation. And then he says, but then there's those that build their house on the sand. You know, that slippery surface underneath that's not as solid. And he says, the rains are going to come, and the tornadoes, and the hurricanes, and the tsunamis, and that house is just going to get washed away because that foundation couldn't hold it. There are solid builders, those who put into practice what they know, those that take their education, their engineering, all of that time and talent that's been put in here, and they put it into practice. A solid foundation, strong walls, a good roof, a solid house, right? These are the kind of builders we want working on our house. But then there's those that, you know, maybe don't practice so well. They want to get the job done a little bit quicker. They want to get the job done a little bit cheaper. They take those shortcuts. They take those cheaper options. And what happens, but the work doesn't last, and the work ends up having problems. Well, Jesus tells us exactly what that foundation is and exactly how we get that foundation. Because he tells us that in our life, our foundation is Christ. And what does he tell us? But having a solid foundation are those that hear his words and put it into practice. That hear his words and put it in practice. Now, this is interesting because right before this passage, he's talking about true and false disciples. And he says, now everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. I said, like, wait a second. They're doing what he said. They're doing things in his name. They're showing here the faith. But Jesus says, saying to just say the name Jesus and to proclaim that we have faith and we do things in his name isn't just enough. We have to look at our foundation. We have to look at the core. We have to see who it is that we are. And like that solid foundation versus that sand foundation, the solid foundation takes work. It takes time. It takes dedication. It takes a willingness to not cut corners and try to take the easy route. We call this costly grace. It's grace that costs us our life because it takes our life to get it. But then over here we have the sand. These are the people that want the easy way. These are the people that say, you know, I just have to proclaim Jesus. My life doesn't have to change, and I've got salvation. Congratulations, you've got what we call cheap grace. And cheap grace, the trouble is, when we take the easy way, when we take the minimalist faith, when we do just what we think is the most minimum that's required, how do I skate my way in through the back door to heaven? we find that the winds are going to blow and the rain's going to come down and the challenges of life are going to be here. And the trouble is that cheap, sandy foundation is when we find ourselves collapsing under the pressure. That's when we find that the challenges are magnified because we're not strong enough to stand under the pressure and we haven't learned to lean on God to help us to stand up. So here Christ says, we got to have this foundation. And to change for the better, to really get that foundation and to find the greatest potential that we have in our life is to find Christ in us and to allow him, and I know this is the really difficult word, to allow him control in our life. I'll tell you, I like to drive. If I'm in a car, I'm happiest when I'm behind the wheel because I'm in control, I know where I'm going, and it feels like my life is in my hands. And just from early on, that's just where I've been most comfortable. I think back through relationships and friendships, and I go through all of it, and I'm like, man, I'm always the one driving. I'm always the first to volunteer and say, okay, I'll drive, because I like that control. I'm not so good at sitting in the passenger seat, and I want to grip onto something because I'm worried, right? That car's too close. You cut him off too far. I mean, I just struggle, okay? And it's not me thinking I'm the best driver in the world. I'll admit, I'm not always the best driver, but at least it's in my hands, right? Where it's really hard to be in that passenger's seat. But God is begging us to choose that passenger's seat in life, to allow him to be the driver, to allow him to have the control, to let him choose the destination, to let him choose the scenic route, to let him worried about the timing to get there, and to allow us to enjoy the sights along the way, for us to be able to relax and reduce our stress because we know that God is in control. But that's a hard place to be. But did I mention that solid foundation takes work? It takes sacrifice. It takes us relinquishing control and saying, I know I think I know it all. I know I think I know what's best, but I know you really do know what's best. You really do have my best interest at heart. And though the path may seem strange, the path may seem out of the way, the path may seem too difficult for me, I know that if I trust you, I'm going to be thankful that I followed you. John Wesley, the founder of our faith, he calls this process of change going on to perfection. Going on to perfection. The source of this phrase comes out of the book of Hebrews, the 6th chapter, first verse, that says, let us move beyond the elementary teachings about Christ and be taken forward to maturity. Now, this one, if you go to the King James Version, which would have been the Bible that John Wesley was using, instead of being taken forward to maturity, it says to go on to perfection. Maturity and perfection getting interchanged into the scripture. But what does it tell us that we have to do to become mature in our faith or to reach a level of perfection? But to move beyond the elementary teachings about Christ. To not just say, yeah, I know who Christ is. Yeah, I know the basic stories. Yeah, I know the basic teachings. But how do we take this and apply it to our life? How do we take this and allow it to control our destiny and how we live? How do we take this, not just in our minds, not just memorized, but how do we take it into our hearts where it is changing us, where it is becoming the foundation of who we are. That God, our Creator, Christ, our Savior, the Holy Spirit, the Sustainer, are the key ingredients to who we are, and that we refuse to be separated by them. That's the kind of solid foundation that Christ desires for us, so that the winds blow and the rain comes down and life hits us full speed and we find ourselves standing solid because of our faith and how God gets us through. This is what Christ desires for us. That's the life that Christ is hoping for us will be that big reveal. And when will it be revealed? Not each morning as we look in the mirror, but it will be revealed on that day when we are glorified and placed in heaven with God because of the faith that we had in our life. To move on towards perfection or maturity is to embrace the continual process of choosing Christ. This week, each day, can your prayer be the prayer of wanting less of you and more of Christ to control who you are? My friends, that is our destiny. That's what Christ desires for us, and that is what we should desire for ourselves. Amen.